Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here from Lexington, Kentucky this morning.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm broadcasting from Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 23rd, 2010, episode 17, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. So how are things in Norman, Oklahoma this morning?
A little bit chillier than I'm used to, but beautiful. Unfortunately, I didn't get in until about 12:30, 1 o'clock, so haven't really seen everything that's going on here, but the sun's just kind of coming up now, and going to look outside the window and maybe, you know, wrap myself in a winter blanket and go outside and take a look around.
You're not there in tornado season, so that's a good thing. You're probably going to miss that adventure. You won't have to deal with blowing, becoming Dorothy this morning.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I'm at my in-law's house, and they actually had a tornado go over the top of this house back in, I believe it was May, Glenn, and
wow.
Actually they lost a considerable amount of trees. It was such a woodsy, beautiful area, and now it's just stumps because it knocked over everything. My father-in-law was in the house when it happened. He saw it coming. You know, everybody here has their shelters that they go into. He had to go into the shelter, and he said for a couple minutes it was like getting run over by a freight train. That's how loud it was. And when he came back out, you know, the neighborhood is destroyed. He got very lucky, only lost part of the roof, but they did lose all their big, beautiful, you know, pine trees and everything that was surrounding the house. But fortunately, nothing fell directly on the house. So this is a very dangerous area. If I scream and then run, then you'll know there's a tornado coming.
You're hiding under your desk.
Tornado Alley. Yeah. Well, how are things in Lexington?
Things in Lexington are raining finally. We're supposed to get 3 days of rain. We haven't had rain in months. So this is a good thing. And Jennifer and I are going to be going over Thanksgiving Day, and the place where we keep our horse, the boarding stable there, they're going back home to Pennsylvania for a couple of days, so we're going to be watching the farm again, which will bring back memories of watching the farm on Thanksgiving Day in the mud. So that'll be fun, and we're looking forward to that. We haven't owned our own farm for quite some years, and it'll be fun to go back and help out and take care of the horses over there. You know, we have a lot of stuff we want to get to today, and mainly we really want to take your calls today because we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. But I wanted to give a shout-out to a regular guest here already on Horses in the Morning, and somebody that we've gotten to know over the last couple of years, and that's Frankie and Sandy Lovato. I noticed Frankie posted this morning. He posted, "Happy Anniversary, Snugger Booger." And that caught my attention, so I read on. And Sandy and I have been married 28 years today. They work together, play together. They have worked together. They play together. They're really never apart. He says they've still never had a fight. And, you know, I remember talking to them about that. Because Jennifer and I don't have them too often either. Matter of fact, I don't remember the last one. And they are the same way. So happy anniversary to Frankie and Sandy Lovato. Frankie, of course, has sort of become our impromptu correspondent on things racing. So we appreciate that him joining us. And 28 years is good. I mean, you're in year number one. You got 27 to go.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned the fight thing because we were talking on the plane, and Chad said something about, you know, we've never had a fight. And I think that men and women are so dramatically different in many ways. And one of those ways that men and women are different is what men perceive as, like, normal conversation, women perceive as a fight. Because
well,
I was thinking, it's like, he's like, gosh, we never fight. I'm like, really? What about 2 weeks ago when you did this and I got mad about it? Blah, blah, blah. No, we don't really fight very much at all. But, yeah, definitely perception is nine-tenths of it for sure.
Well, you know, I think unless there's things being thrown at each other, it's pretty much not a fight.
Well, then we've definitely never had a fight. I think because we don't have fights like that, very dramatic, you know, things are breaking, we're throwing things, heated, passionate fights. I think that the little things are our little arguments, you know, but I don't know. We don't have that kind of fight at all, but I'm sure people do, and that's why they say, you know, making up is the reason you fight.
Well,
I got Jennifer laughing.
Yeah.
Hey.
Let's get to the show today. And by the way, Karen Gantheiser, who just actually posted on our Facebook page over there, she said, good morning, Glenn and Jamie. Karen, if you're listening to the show, which I think you probably are, seeing you posted that, you're going to want to hear what we have to say in about 5 minutes. So hold on there, Karen. And let's take a listen. This will set the stage for today's show. The Rhythm of the Ride by Marianne Kennedy, who will be with us on Thursday morning, Thanksgiving Day. We'll have a whole hour with Marianne Kennedy. We'll play a lot of her music. It's going to be a much different show than we normally do, and we are so looking forward to having her on for the whole time and listening to a lot of great horse music. But Rhythm of the Ride sets up today. Did you notice, Jennifer, I cut you off before you could comment on the fighting thing?
Yes, I did notice.
I noticed that too, Jennifer. Like, we're going to talk about making up. Jennifer wants to chime in. Glenn just plays music, like, right over top of her.
We'll be fighting about that later.
Exactly. First fight you've had in 5 years, and we created it here on the morning show, so that's great.
Jennifer, my lovely wife and producer of the show, is going to tell us what's coming up today.
On today's show, we have our monthly Tucker's Tale segment with Dr. Jeff Tucker, who is from the equine practice, and he'll be here with some no-drama advice and some really great stories from the road. He gave us a little bit of a preview this morning. I believe he put it on did he tweet it out or he put it on his Facebook page?
I think Facebook page, yeah.
And it's going to be a hoot. I can't wait. My face is going to hurt from laughing. And also
I have a question first. Hold on. Is he an actual real doctor? Because yesterday...
Yes.
Yes,
he's
I introduced
an actual
the doctor.
Real doctor.
He wasn't a doctor.
We're just handing them out here. Just, you want a doctorate? Call the Horse Radio Network. We can do it for you.
Yeah, we'll give you a diploma.
Yeah. Sure. I just got my master's yesterday. So
Your certificate is in the mail.
I'm 4 days away from my doctorate. Go ahead.
There you go. And also up today is Jamie Dietrich from the North American Trail Ride Conference, who will be filling us in on the sport of competitive trail riding. It's a really cool, interesting mix between trail classes that you would see in an arena and endurance racing that we're all familiar with. So I'm really interested to see what she has to say. And this is also Beaker's preferred sport after grazing. His previous owner, Martha, had taken him on a couple of competitive trail rides. And I finally got around to checking into exactly what competitive trail rides are the other day and went, whoa, no wonder he was so fit.
Well, your horse's preferred sport, you say grazing, but I do know he's got the fat boy muzzle on when he goes out. So grazing is limited for the Beaker.
Yes. Must be.
And after this rain, it's definitely going to have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
No doubt.
Hey, I just noticed, guys, that Karen Heiser just posted again on Facebook. I'm here for the entire show. Wouldn't miss it, actually. I look forward to listening to you guys every day. Well, Karen, congratulations, because you were the winner yesterday for posting on Facebook of the Omega Alpha Starter Pack worth $150. Just drop Jennifer an email at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with your information, your address, phone number, things like that, and we will get out that Omega Alpha Starter Pack worth $150. So it pays to listen here to Horses in the Morning and today's prize. And I know that we probably are picking up a lot of new listeners today because this was posted everywhere and Carrots posted it also. We have something for callers today and or if you post on our Facebook page, and that is a really cool prize. It's a Carrots cargo jacket worth $200. This is a fully loaded multi-season jacket that has that's very unique. It's waterproof, it's breathable, and it has a hood. And the one cool thing about Carrots products is these are made by riders, fitted by riders. And the hood actually fits over your helmet. It comes with multiple belt loops. It's very stylish. You see it there, Jamie. Would you wear that. That's very you.
This is the coolest jacket. It is designed to ride. You know, what's frustrating about riding in the wintertime is that you go to get on your horse, you can't move in your coat because it's just a big winter coat, or you lean forward and the space between your riding breeches or your jeans and the bottom of your coat don't match or don't overlap. Nice. So you end up with the coldest lower back and top of your butt because when you lean over, there's always the inevitable opening of space and then your air conditioning vent. So this jacket actually covers that. And that's what I love about Carrot jackets is because they are designed to ride, and this one is very, very cool. So the other thing that I like about this jacket is it's when you are riding and you get warmed up and you get heated up, you can actually this is kind of weird, but you can unzip your armpits. There's armpit zips for ventilation, so you can unzip your armpits and get some air through there. So as a sweater, I do appreciate that. As a pit sweater.
Thanks for letting me know.
That was embarrassing, but, you know, I want a jacket. So what I was thinking is that if Karen is sitting here, you know, posting away on Facebook, maybe she could be one of our first callers, because what we want to do, we want to talk to you guys about is your Thanksgiving traditions and your Thanksgiving traditions regarding your horse. Is it a day that you go out to the barn and just feed, or is it a day you go out there and give your horse carrots? Is it a day you ride, or is it a day you don't even see your horse? We want to know what you do on Thanksgiving with your horse. Our phone number is 347-637-3238. And what do you guys do? I mean, y'all are going to be farm sitting at Beaker's Farm for Thanksgiving, so obviously you'll be there. Will you ride, Glenn and Jennifer?
That's a good question. I haven't made a decision yet.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer, I think we probably will, because we have the whole day. It's just us on Thanksgiving. We sort of had Thanksgiving with my family a couple weeks ago. So we probably will take time to just goof around at the farm, which would be kind of nice, and probably just be us out there in the morning, which is always kind of nice, too. You know, there was one of the coolest traditions that we've ever seen in our lifetime at Thanksgiving, and Jennifer had the tremendous opportunity to ride in it, is the last day of the myopia hunt up in northern Massachusetts above Boston and the North Shore there at the Myopia Hunt Club. The last hunt day is Thanksgiving Day, and it's a huge tradition up there. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
There are thousands of people that come out to watch. The roads are lined with cars. You think I'm joking. I'm not. This has become a huge tradition to go out and watch the hunt that day. And, Jennifer, you got the ride in it.
It was neat. It's such a very, very different ride when you literally have tens of thousands of people lining the streets everywhere you go. And I stopped by, I don't remember if it was the Boston Globe or one of the newspapers that has an online version, and they had some snapshots of last year's. And if you look in the background, every shot, there are just crowds of people. You'd think you were looking at Rolex. There are so many people standing along fences, traffic jams everywhere. And it's a big tradition for folks in the area. They go out bright and early because it happens reasonably early in the day, bundle all up because it's freaking freezing, and go out and watch the hunt go through. And it's just really, really cool because of the participation of the folks who live there. And it was neat. I really enjoyed it. Now, the downside being that anybody who worked in the horse business, your Thanksgiving Day was delayed.
That's true.
Started the barn at 3 a.m. and got all the horses ready because every horse in the entire county is booked for that day. If it's got four legs and a working muzzle, it's out there in the hunting.
It's hunting.
Yeah, it's
oh,
out
wow.
there. So, you know, for example, where I was at the hunt club, I think we had 15 or 18 horses go out average on a Thanksgiving Day. So you had to get them all ready. So by the time Thanksgiving dinner rolled around, I was pretty much comatose. I had a lot of fun. But it was
no
well
afternoon
worth it.
Football for you.
Yeah, pretty much afternoon sleep for me. So it was really cool.
Well, I wanted to just we have about 15 minutes before our first guest, and you're welcome to give us a call. Talk about your Thanksgiving. What you plan on doing this year? If you have a tradition, do you ride? Don't you ride? Do you think it's a good day to ride because there's not many people at the barn? Or do you prefer to give your horse a day off? It's 347-637-3238. And I noticed we had a couple more posts. There's a lot of conversation going on Facebook this morning. And I wanted to remind everybody, you can do that. You can hop onto Facebook.com and just converse away during the show. Jackie Baker, our friend, said, those carrots people are genius. They've got all the bases covered for my traditional complaints. With winter barnware, you know what these Northeast Ohio winters are like, Jamie. Yeah, you used to live there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I know.
You know how
horrible
that is. You don't miss that, do you?
No. I actually, when I moved to Ohio, it was springtime. Like, the thaw had just started. So when I got there, it was so pretty and beautiful. And I made it 1 year. I made it through one winter and was like, I don't know how people live here. I don't know how. I lived in the snow belt just east of Cleveland, and the snow that would accumulate outside your door was ridiculous. That's where I told you the story about the barn roof collapsing. Yeah, that was from like 5 feet of snow in one night. So, yeah, I made it through 1 year and then pushed my way all the way up to the fall. And then I left. You see you guys later. I'm going south. But, yeah, Jackie Baker, I'm excited. I think she's going to be on the show tomorrow, and I'm really excited because she had the coolest blog that we're going to talk about tomorrow. The blog post is one of those that you and everybody in the world are going to be like, oh, I hate it when that happens. So we'll talk to her tomorrow about it.
Well, and I noticed that Holly just posted, too, and she says she says, I'm having a great time listening to your show so far today. Too bad I don't have a phone to call in. Thank you for having this show. Well, Holly, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll just give you a shout-out, and we'll make believe. We can just make something up. You know, that's what we could do, Jamie. Holly, she goes to the barn. She has three horses that she rides on Thanksgiving Day, and she's supposed to be at Mom's house, and she gets in trouble every single time for being late to dinner. There. Holly just told us all about her Thanksgiving. See, if you can't call in, we're just going to make something up.
Yeah, we'll talk about you behind your back. as far as my Thanksgiving tradition goes, I have never been fortunate enough to be, I guess fortunate is a relative term, because I've never really been able to be at home on Thanksgiving. It's always been in Florida with my mom's family, or right now I'm in Oklahoma, and I've been in Norman, Oklahoma for the last 3 years for Thanksgiving, so I don't have that option to ride, but you know what, it's going to happen this Christmas, because I'm staying home for Christmas. I'm going to ride
well,
on Christmas
call. I think she heard us talking about her, so Jackie Baker has just called in. Good morning, Jackie, you're on the air.
Good morning, Glenn. I did hear you talking about me. I figured I'd surprise you and call in a little bit early.
Well, you know, it's funny because it must be weird hearing talk show hosts talk about you on the air.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's like, whatever, I'm totally used to it. It happens to me all the time, okay?
Jackie is comfortable with her stardom.
I am. Online stardom.
Oh, my God. Holly just wrote back and said on Facebook and just said, now, that's scary. I do have three horses to ride, and I'm always late for dinner. Am I omniscient or what?
Yeah. I'm still wondering why Holly hasn't just called in and told us that. But whatever. It's cool. She has no phone.
She said she doesn't have a phone, so I don't know what that. But anyway, what do you do, Jackie? What do you do on Thanksgiving?
Well, you know what? This is the first year that we're kind of breaking tradition. My sister moved to Oklahoma and had a baby, and so my mother decided to go out there. And so we're all going to be split up this year, which means I'm actually going to be home in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. And my husband's going to sneak off to play football, which totally means I get to go to the barn and ride. First time
my
ever,
husband
and I'm kind
is
of excited.
A baseball guy. That's great. Isn't it fun that we assign our husbands these sports and things to do?
Oh, yeah.
Honey, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
They need
things to entertain them
baseball.
So they don't mind when we go to the barn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I'm like, okay, go play baseball, baby.
Yep,
if you want to
exactly.
come to my game, I have three horses to ride by the time you get back. So. I understand. So
yes.
Do you do the, are you doing the big turkey and all that kind of stuff?
We are. I've actually had one. I have two more Thanksgiving dinners, one down, two to go. So we'll have one in the afternoon on Thanksgiving and another one on Saturday. But I'll get to be home.
You're not
going to
be able to get on the horse.
I know. He might not be very happy with me.
The
he prefers
family.
The attention, though. He'd rather I didn't leave him for days at a time. So.
Aww.
Yeah.
So
Jackie,
I wanted to say,
right.
I wanted to say, too, that we are looking forward to having you on tomorrow morning. You've got a very interesting topic
to
talk about, and it's something that I know Jamie and I and Jennifer are all passionate about, so
uh-huh.
It should be an interesting talk tomorrow morning.
Yes, I think so, too.
Well, thanks,
just
Jackie.
Tell everybody the title.
Jackie,
tell everybody before you go the title of the blog so they can know what they're going to get themselves into tomorrow.
Oh, well, the blog post that is spurring quite a bit of conversation is called Parents Who Invite Their Daughters Out to Ride My Horse. And I am actually in the middle of following that up with one called So Your Daughter is Horse Crazy, Now What?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How many people have been in your shoes, and I mean, who are in your shoes on a daily basis? So I'm glad you're putting pen to paper or, you know, keyboard to computer and writing that out. So thank you so much for calling. We'll
Thanks,
talk to you
I'll
tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Talk
Great.
To you tomorrow, Jackie.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Jackie Baker, who does the Regarding Horses blog. And if you want to check out that article she wrote, you can go to regardinghorses.com before tomorrow morning. And we'll be talking to her tomorrow morning about that article. And that should inspire some conversation. You remember our West Virginia regular caller who posted a picture on our Facebook page of her doing the long format eventing the other day, Aubrey Miller. She posted just a minute ago, I wish I had a cool Thanksgiving tradition. Being the resident horse sitter of the county, I always end up with a ridiculous number of barns to take care of on the holidays. Listen to this. This year is a light year with only 5 barns. I have had up to 7. I think there are a total of 52 horses between the 5 barns I'm going to take care of. Oh, that's not a day off.
No, but that is making some cash, my friend. Nice job. Nice job.
And, you know,
our
you do
farm
need
sitter
that.
Is, yeah, our farm sitter is like, great, I'm going to work for you for Thanksgiving, and that's going to be my Christmas money that I spend, you know, for Christmas gifts and stuff. So she's also kind of got the same mentality. She stays home on all the holidays so she can make all the money. Good for you, girl. Love it.
Well, we are, when we used to have the barn, the big barn, we used to take care of our own. We used to go out in the morning. Matter of fact, we would give we had working students and things, and we would give them, obviously, the day off. And we used to enjoy just going out first thing in the morning. It always seems, and I don't know why this is, but, you know, when you're going out on weekdays or even weekends, you know, everything, even though you're trying to relax and do the barn in a relaxed fashion, it always seems a little rushed because you yourself are thinking about other things you have to get done that day. On the holiday, unlike Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, it always seemed like everything was more peaceful in the barn on those days.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a weird thing, and I don't know what the rationalization is there, but it did always seem more peaceful those days.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. It's because there's nobody there and you're not worried about anybody walking in or coming up on you because it's a holiday. No, you know, I guess that's why, you know, people just don't really go ride their horses all that often on holidays. But, I mean, I certainly know I don't. So I would love to be able to do it, though, someday.
Well, now that they're in your backyard, if you're ever home for a holiday, you'll be able to do it quite easily.
I know. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So I guess my next question for you guys, Glenn, because my mother-in-law is chomping at the bit, pawing the doorway. I mean, she is almost – have you seen those Target commercials, Glenn, where it's the lady running through the Target and she's, like, working out in the Target?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law is that lady.
She's ready to go shopping, huh?
Oh, my gosh. She is so excited. Black Friday is, like, the actual holiday. Yeah, Thanksgiving,
well, so
whatever,
that,
we get things. We're going to eat. But, no, Black Friday is
– does that mean she's waking you up at 4 o'clock and dragging you out before the show?
Well, see – I had an out because I have to do the show, so I do appreciate it. I will not be getting up at 4 in the morning to go shopping. I think what she's going to do is she's going to come back and get me for the second round.
Oh, so you're going to be going out after the show.
Oh, yes, immediately. I think that my things will be lined up by the door, my purse, my shoes, whatever I should possibly need in the way of, you know, snacks, keeping my blood sugar up, because we are out the door the moment this show ends to go shopping. And being a horse person, I just feel like we're not that passionate about shopping. I could really care less. But it's a day of fun with my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law.
You don't know Helena very well.
Oh, really? Is she a shopper?
Well, and she's a window shopper. She's not so much a buyer. She hardly ever buys anything. But boy, could get her out shopping. We have a great time. That's one of our favorite things to do when we're together.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, just to let everybody know, our sponsor this half hour is Pfizer Animal Health. Daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's Pfizer, PfizerAH.com.
Thank you, Jamie. And now we are up with our first guest today. I'm thrilled to have on the Horses in the Morning show. He's been a regular guest over at Horse Tip Daily, and we've had some very interesting conversations over there. If you haven't listened to those, hop on over to Horse Tip Daily and search for Dr. Jeff Tucker. He is one of the most passionate dentists you're ever going to find anywhere in the country, and he is also a podcaster. He is a Twitter fanatic. He's in the new media like you've never seen before, takes some of the greatest pictures of the barns he sees all over the East Coast and all over the country, and he uses the tagline Equine Dentistry Without Drama, and he's an advocate of no power tools. We're having him on once a month to do a segment that we're calling Tucker's Tales. Hi, Dr. Tucker, and welcome to the show.
I have nothing to talk about.
Why?
Oh, I love throwing curveballs to Glenn, and, you know, just to make him, like, sweat for a second.
Yeah, he does, actually. He does that to me on every show he's ever been on. He does that all the time. But you know what? I've learned now that once he gets started, he can't stop talking, so I don't worry about it
anymore. Oh, my God. Yeah. Nice to meet you, Jamie. Nice to meet you, Jamie.
Oh, very nice to meet you, too, Dr. Tucker.
I was pleased to hear that Pfizer with Astrangid C is the sponsor. I've used Astrangid C for about a billion years ever since it came out. And a lot of people say, well, maybe not use that stuff, but there's a treat that you can feed your horse every day that can really help on the parasite problem on your farm if you know how to use it correctly. So I just want to say shout out to Pfizer. They've done a great job with that product.
Well, we appreciate him being a part of the show for sure. I swear by the Strongid too, so I can't fault you for that because I love the product.
Yep. All right, what do you guys want to talk about? Turkey and...
Well, you know, I noticed we want to talk about what you posted on your Facebook page this morning. It was very funny. The things you said you wanted to talk about today on the show, just go with it. We're ready.
The horses are pretty much ignored on the holidays. I feel bad about that. I mean, I go from barn to barn, and I see the candy cane addiction that these horses have. And the worst thing is people buy the candy canes and mount them just out of the mouth reach of the horse. And so the horse has to sit there and look at these things all day. So, I mean, that's just abuse right there.
So being a dentist and, you know, incorporating the candy cane thing, my horse has an addiction to peppermints, which, you know, on Christmas that turns into candy canes. Being a dentist, are we worried about cavities and things like that for our horses, like our dentist tells us?
No. Horses do get cavities, and that's been documented. They've also noticed that as they get cavities, they usually can repair them themselves, which is unique because horses' teeth aren't like human teeth at all. And they continually erupt. And as they erupt, they can bring nutrients up through the pulp and into the areas and actually fill them in. And everything's really good. But, yeah, no, you
can
feel
what those teeth
want.
Glenn, you may want those teeth, but then Dr. Tucker's going to come float them.
That's true. Yeah, no, and he doesn't use painkillers of any kind, so no thank you.
Yeah, but I get people like Jennifer to hold your ear and throw you to the ground.
Hey.
Sounds like fun.
All right. seriously, sweets, I think we tend to feed sweets a lot, and if I could just for a serious moment give you five words, one sentence, that your listeners could just sear into their memories for forever. If we would start to feed for fuel, not emotion, you'd solve most of your problems with horses. So I always like to let that slogan get out. Feed for fuel, not for emotion.
Explain.
There's a certain amount of
Because I'm emotional,
energy.
Okay.
She's very emotional, Dr. Tucker.
Well, most horse owners are, and with a shameless plug for my book, The 10 Irrefutable Laws of Horsemanship, the last law is a horse is a horse. And horses didn't have treats. They didn't have bags of grain when they were developed. They weren't doted upon like they are now. And I think a lot of people like to give treats, and I'm not just picking on women. I see men do it all the time. They bring out bags of carrots or treats and stuff. And the question I ask people is, when you're a child and came home, or maybe you have children yourself, and when they come home from school, do you just have that bowl of candy in there and say, here, help yourself, eat till you're full, and then when you're done, maybe you could go maybe, you know, clean up your room or do your homework? So we're giving the treat at the wrong time. If you want to give a treat, use it as a reward for good behavior. And a lot of these horses learn bad behavior by offering them treats, and that you just reinforce that bad behavior. So my horse, if he starts throwing his head out the stall, hey, give me a treat or whatever, totally ignore him and wait till he gets into that calm state. And once they get into the calm state where they're just really relaxed, go and reward that behavior. And you're going to feel like a better mother if you do that. You
so
know,
really, when you say emotional, Dr. Tucker, when you say emotional, you're not talking really about us. You're talking about the horse because they get emotional wanting the treat, and then we reward that, right?
Well, they're only getting emotional because you're emotional. A lot of people go into the barn and they say, oh,
it's all about you, Jamie.
Here's my horse. Oh, my love of my life. I'm away from my family, away from my husband, away from my job, away from all my troubles. I'm now in my zen mode of my barn. I'm with my horse. I love my horse. Therefore, I need to feed my horse. And, you know, I know your show's had a nutritionist, Tracy is her name, Tanya? Dr. I forgot her name.
Oh, yes. Yes.
With a Nebit, I think it is. No offense, I apologize for butchering her name. But she was talking about what goes in the horse, the digestive tract and stuff. But it's very simple. we have to understand that horses are continuous eaters. They're not meal takers like humans. And we've gone over this before, Glenn, where we talk about the gallbladder in the horse, that they don't, they're not born with a gallbladder. There's no reason for them to store bile, and bile is that fluid that the liver makes, and it's stored in our gallbladder, and when we take a meal, it squirts out into our intestines and helps digest the food. But in a horse, they're supposed to be continually eating, so there's no need for a gallbladder, so they're not born with one. So the whole idea of having a breakfast, a lunch, an afternoon meal, a dinner, feeding on time, is just such a foreign concept for the horse and the way they're made, that if we stop feeding like they were humans, feeding as an emotion, and we started feeding as fuel and recognize and respected their physiology, we would have hay in front of them at all times, or grass or forage, and if they needed some supplementation, we would add the sugar, which we call grain, and we could, you know, make them keep their body condition up where they need to be.
Okay, Dr. Tucker, I will beg to differ you with you on one subject, though. One small detail.
Beg all
detail.
You want.
I am a continuous eater.
He's a grazer.
I am a grazer. Just want to get that out there.
Oh, you're funny.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm constantly hungry too, but...
Yeah. Well,
remember,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
About the horses, just wait. So to ask about what you were just talking about, granted, I understand horses are, they were wild. They walked around. They grazed. They ate. They ate all day long while they traveled and walked and moved. Now, obviously, we don't all have the ability to do that. Is it, what are you saying? What would you recommend? What is ideal for a horse that is in our barn?
The rule of thumb is half a bale of hay per horse per day, which is a 20-pound bale, pardon me, a 40-pound bale. So it's about 20 pounds of hay a day, of a grass-type hay. You mix some alfalfa. Alfalfa is good for the gut. It's not as deleterious as a lot of people think it is. It's just a little bit more expensive and hard to harvest and store, and you can sometimes get a lot of bad batches of the legume hays. But half a bale per horse per day, and then if you need to supplement with some grain, try and keep that down to minimum. And that's your rule of thumb.
Hold on. So half, you're saying half a bale would be 20, because the bales that we have here in Arizona are probably about 120 pounds a piece. So is there like a weight percentage that the horse needs to eat? We also have a Hackney pony. So specify just a little bit, and I'm taking notes, so don't worry.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned a half a bale, and then I said a 40-pound bale. So it's about 20 pounds of hay per horse per day as a rough estimate. Most people get the 40-pound bales for stacking. Obviously, out west, you have those 100, 150-pound bales. So try and flake it out so you're feeding about 20 pounds per horse per day. Now, everyone's different. A Hackney has maybe a little bit higher metabolism. A working horse has something. But if you could just picture in your mind, that if a horse is supposed to be continuously eating, and they'll eat anywhere from a third to half a day actually chewing, and that's actually been documented. Horses chew 10,000 to 40,000 times every day, and there's 86,400 seconds in a day. So if they're chewing 40,000 times a day, and each chew is a second, that's about half a day. If they're kept inside, they don't chew as much, and so that's
I want to be a horse.
Yeah. But
I could eat half the day. I could do that. I could do that very successfully.
Yeah, but you'd have to eat like the equivalent of a salad, Glenn, and that would never happen.
Hey, Dr. Tucker, I saw here that you put on your Facebook, this just is it okay to feed dinner leftovers to your horse? And I saw you put that on there, and I thought that was a good one.
Well, sure, why not? I don't know. You know, every once in a while, if you want to go crazy and add a beer, I mean, people in Florida are constantly adding beers because it helps with these horses that don't sweat much. But, of course, it has to be a dark Guinness Stout, I guess, is the one that everyone uses. And it helps horses sweat. So beer is a constant staple down here in Florida and a lot of racetracks. Do you want to feed turkey? Well, you know, it's not going to have any deleterious effect that I know of, but how many horses actually are meat eaters? So I think I was just joking.
And I thought you were, because the next thing you posted was cranberry stuffing recipes for barn critters.
Well, it would never get to the barn, as far as I'm concerned. There would be no leftovers.
He's a grazer, too. He eats all day, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember a few years back when we did have gal. Go ahead, Dr. Tucker.
No, I didn't hear.
A few years back, we did have a gal that kept her horse with us that worked at a restaurant that had a salad bar. And at the end of her shift, the salad bar was closed down. And she would take everything out of that salad bar. I mean, everything. And now, they didn't have, like, potato salad or anything, but it was the lettuce and the radishes and the green peppers and everything. And she'd pour it in a big old bag, and she'd feed it to her horses.
Sure.
They'd eat strange stuff.
There's nothing really wrong with that. As we all know, roughage is really important in a horse's diet. And people tend to get away from roughage because hay, especially down here in Florida, is so expensive that they remove the hay and they start increasing the grain to keep the weight where they want it. And it kind of shifts the whole balance of what the horse is supposed to be about. So, yeah, all the roughage you can, that's great.
So let's break it down. If you really did give your horse stuffing, you've got your you've got your celery, and you've got your bread, and you've got your owl poop. Glenn can comment on that.
What?
We had a show the other day with Helena, and we were doing a show. It was funny. It was on Tech and Habit, I think. And I just said, I do not like stuffing with raisins in it. And she said, oh, I don't either. That's like eating owl poop. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, it's funny. My wife makes a great sausage stuffing, so we do good at our house. That holds a special place in our table, the stuffing.
Well, Jamie, I have a question for you. And while we're on the subject of food,
I knew it was coming.
So now, I like talking to Dr. Tucker because we get off on these tangents and then we just never get back. Now, you're a vegetarian. Is there something that you look forward to on Thanksgiving?
The selection of vegetables is usually pretty great, but what everybody has to realize is that a vegetarian cannot eat vegetables that have been cooked with meat. So when it's amazing how many people ruin vegetables by soaking it in, you know, a ham hock or something. Like, look at green beans. Everybody always puts pork in the green beans. Then you've got mashed potatoes, and people cover them in gravy, meat gravy. So
bacon,
so many
bacon,
of
bacon.
Oh, bacon! You put bacon in your mashed potatoes? Really?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
And
really
then
good.
People go and ruin stuffing by stuffing it inside this poor turkey's chest cavity, and then they cook it and then pull it out, and I can't eat that either. So my families have done really good in trying to curtail the meat inside the vegetable thing. And I realize, look around at your Thanksgiving dinner and look at your table and see what carnivores you people are.
Yep. Now, I must say, though, on the other side of the scale, you don't get to enjoy very many of the savory items at Thanksgiving dinner. But boy, oh boy, do you get to take advantage of the pies.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'll be making the peach pie for this one, so.
How about mincemeat pie? Do you ever eat that?
I don't even know what that is, but it has meat in it, probably.
No, it doesn't.
So,
no meat. No meat at all.
There's meat in the word.
It has a bunch of owl. It has owl poop.
Yes, it does. It has owl poop in it.
It's Glenn's favorite, by far.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
hey,
so
Dr.
seriously,
Tucker?
Though. People and just pay attention. Go ahead.
Well, one more quick thing. Everyone asks how much they should feed a horse, and that's what you were talking about, Hackney, and give me some specifics. I try and get everyone to go over to Google search and just put in equine body condition score and learn about the body condition scores. They rate them from 1 to 9, 1 being so thin they're like a death's doorstep, and 9 being so fat if you threw them in a pond, they float like a fishing bob. And where you want to be is a spot. you can good picture that, okay. And if you aim for a 5, that's the ideal weight. And they give you diagrams, pictures, and measurements that you can take where you don't actually need a tape or a scale. You can just look at the horse and say, okay, this horse is the right body condition. The problem is everybody wants to keep their horse at a 6, 7, or 8 on the body condition score. And I'm not too sure why, but that's where all the vets make their money. So we vets love you to keep them up there because that's where you get your arthritises, your breakdowns, your tendon injuries, your metabolic equine syndrome, you know, equine metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, Cushing's, all those things. You have these fat horses. But the only disease you get when the horse is a 5 or maybe even a 4 is your neighbor coming by and accusing you of not knowing how to feed your horse. Yet there's no law out there that says your horse can't be thin. We try to make ourselves thin and spend billions of dollars doing it, and whatever money we have left over, we buy food for our horses. So there's a double standard there. If we would just feed for fuel and not for emotion and look at our horse with an objective eye using the body condition score, you can still go down there and feed all the turkey leftovers you want one day. It's not going to kill anybody. But the next day, get them back to roughage and on occasion a handful of oats if they need it.
Well, Dr. Tucker, I just wanted to say on body condition scoring, I did a tip on Horse Tip Daily. It was a two-part series that I did with Dr. Narada Richards out of Australia, who's a nutritionist that's a regular on that show. It was episode number 267 and 268, and we went through all 10 scores and exactly what each one was. And the only thing that depressed me about doing that with her is I realized I'm probably personally a 7 or an 8. And I should be more of a 5. So that's what really depressed me there. But it was a very interesting two-part series over at Horse Tip Daily. Go to horsetipdaily.com, number 267 and 268. So I'm kind of glad you brought that up. And Holly, I'm going to butcher your name, posted on Facebook, on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and said, speaking of leftovers, my horse loves cold pizza. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh. I bet Holly is one of those people that she can roll a marble down her horse's spine where the saddle goes, and the marble just stays there. It doesn't roll off. It's supposed to roll off the back. Huh?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Water accumulates. A little pond.
Yeah. In between the back fat.
I don't know. You're getting awfully personal here, folks.
All right, Dr. Tucker, thank you so much for calling in and for being part of the show. We look forward to speaking with you every month on this segment we call Tucker's Tales. And, you know, when you and I first talked about it, we said, what are we going to talk about? I said, do we need a subject? You and I have never really needed a subject. So we look forward to having you back next month. And have a great holiday and have a wonderful Thanksgiving eating owl poop.
Bless you all. Thanks.
You're
doing a great job.
Bye, Dr. Tucker.
Bye.
Well, that was great of Dr. Tucker to join us. He's a busy guy traveling all over the East Coast. He travels all up and down the East Coast doing dentistry for horses. You can find his website. He has a great website with tons of pictures. I love to look at his pictures. He takes pictures of every barn he goes to, and it's so neat seeing the different barn pictures. It's the equinepractice.com. That's the equinepractice.com. Well, we have a guest coming up. We're going to talk about something that will help keep your horses thinner, and that's the North American Trail Ride Conference. We're going to talk
nice
all about that right after
that.
The news from Samantha. Here's the news for the day.
This is the Horse Radio Network, and I'm Samantha Clark for Horses in the Morning. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of November. Let's start with dressage. The 26th German Masters wrapped up in Stuttgart on Sunday, and once again we find ourselves talking about Edward Gau. This time last year, he and the Moorlands Totilas famously won the freestyle here on a score of 87.8% and then continued to shatter records all over the world, before their amazing performance at the World Equestrian Games here in Lexington, where they took home an unprecedented 3 individual gold medals, as well as the team gold for the Netherlands. Celebrations were short-lived, however, as it was announced almost immediately that the black stallion Moorland Totilus had been sold to German superbreeder Paul Schockemöller. In Stuttgart this weekend, Edward finished third in both the Grand Prix and Grand Prix Special, riding Sister de Jure, who is also by Gribaldi, the sire of Totilus. Most intriguingly, though, he told two German sports media that he would be open to changing nationality for the 2012 Olympics in order to be reunited with his former partner. Victoria Max Thurer of Austria won the Grand Prix and Special. Isabel Wirth was second on El Santo, who took the 2010 Otto Lorca Prize for German dressage horses under the age of 10, but took the freestyle on Sachmo with a score of 82%, with Ulla Salzgeber second. Slightly closer to home, well, Kentucky anyway, the United States Hunter Jumper Association has announced that the $100,000 International Hunter Derby Finals, now in its third year, will return to the Kentucky Horse Park here in Lexington. The finals are scheduled for August the 19th and 20th in 2011 and will be in the new outdoor stadium, that's the Johnson Arena, where the inaugural finals were held. The top 75 horses in the standings qualify to compete in round one on the first night, with the final third round testing the top 12 over an exciting handy hunter course that will decide the champion under lights on the second night. And now for something completely different. A man who wanted to tattoo his grey pony with the Rolling Stones tongue logo has been banned from doing so by a court in Germany. The man had already shaved the 16 square centimetre patch on his pony's hindquarters and tattooed the outline of the design before the matter was referred to the court in Munster. He told the judge he wanted to make the pony look more unique and beautiful. Glenn, no ideas, please, about Carrie Underwood. That's luckily all we have time for today. I'm Samantha Clark, and I'll be back tomorrow with more of your Horse Radio Network news for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I just have to laugh at that news story. Wow. Some guy wanted to shave and tattoo the Rolling Stones tongue logo on the back of his horse. Are you kidding me?
I know. How gross is that? How bad can you get?
I know. I'm supposed to let you.
I just said to me, I was rolling.
I can see a reality show on what Fox coming out of that.
Yeah, it's called Animal Abuse is what that's called. Oh my gosh, that is
because he wanted
bizarre.
To make him unique. Well, that would make him unique with that tongue on his butt.
Oh my gosh, sorry. Okay, welcome back to Horses in the Morning with Glenn, who is in Lexington with his wife Jennifer, the producer, and I'm Jamie, and I'm broadcasting from the in-laws' house for the holidays. I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and was thinking we should go get tattoos today, guys. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, I think why don't we do the KISS logo? It'd be a little different.
Sounds good. We'll all get different bands, and then we'll compare. And I also love the fact that Samantha, did you catch the last, 5 seconds of the news?
Oh, I missed it. She said Carrie Underwood, but I missed what it was.
She said, sorry, Glenn, no news on Carrie Underwood. We're out of time.
Ah.
I love it.
She knows me
sorry.
Really well.
Yeah, it's those of you who don't know, granted, Jennifer is a very beautiful woman, and this is the part where Glenn, you and my husband hit it off right on the money, because there is one woman that both of us, you and my husband, would leave us for, and that is Carrie Underwood. But you would have to fight over her, because dramatic.
And I don't know, he's probably a lot tougher than I am, being the military guy and all. But and I'm not sure I got to qualify that. I don't think I would leave Jennifer for Carrie Underwood, but she certainly is on that special list that couples have.
Yeah, well, when Carrie got married, I told Chad, I'm like, sorry, buddy, you got to wear a black armband for the day to, for your sadness. I'm like, sorry, she married somebody way richer than us. But, yeah, of course you wouldn't leave her. Of course, right? Never.
No, not
happen.
At all.
Okay. Okay, we have a guest on the
phone.
Trying
to get
sorry,
me into one of those fights today.
I will have you fighting with your wife before you know it. It's in the soul. No, just kidding. All right, actually, on the line, we have a guest. We're going to talk to Jamie Dietrich from the North American Trail Ride Conference. That is NATRC.org. And she's going to tell us a little bit about it. Jamie, first of all, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Tell us all, just get us started here. What is your organization and what do you guys do?
Well, as you said, we're the North American Trail Ride Conference. We sanction competitive trail rides all across the United States. And a competitive trail ride is a competitive distance sport.
A competitive distance sport, right. So what separates it from an endurance ride?
Well, an endurance ride is a measured distance, and the one that finishes first is the winner, as long as the horse is deemed fit to continue. A competitive trail ride differs in that we have a measured distance, but you have a window of time in which to do it. So everyone paces about the same, and the idea is, all things being equal, which is the best horse on this ride?
So it's optimum time.
There's no time frame. So it's like closest to optimum time, or are there judges along the way? I'm having a hard time putting it together. How you decide a winner?
Okay, good question. The horses are judged by licensed veterinarians, and they're monitored for soundness. You know, in other words, lameness. Also, that includes tack rubs, bit rubs, that kind of thing. And also on their conditioning. So different metabolic checks are done. Pulse and respiration is checked along the way. So within a 30-minute window of time that they all have to finish, these parameters are measured, and they lose points for not being at the optimum for degrading from how they started the ride. Also, the riders are judged by horsemanship judges. So the riders are judged as well.
On, like, position or how they guide their horse or what they are wearing or what?
Okay, the riders are judged on their equitation, safety, how they handle a horse. And, of course, the purpose of horsemanship judging is to do the best for the horse. So the horsemanship judging wants the rider to do the best job, so the horse performs at its best. But there's two separate scorecards.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, gotcha.
Gotcha. So there's the scorecard for the speed and fitness of the horse, and then there's a separate scorecard for the rider's capabilities. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
And then how are those two combined?
They're not combined per se. The rider at the end of the ride gets both different scorecards. There's horse awards and there's rider's awards.
So at the end of the race, there are two separate winners?
There are, yes, two sets of winners. There's horse winners and there's rider's winners. Because we're a national organization, we keep track of placings and points at each ride. And so not only are there ride awards, but at the end of the year, there's year-end awards nationally, too.
Okay, gotcha. So when these guys are out, sorry, Glenn, when they're out on the roads and they're doing this competitive trail ride, is there a certain speed that they are supposed to go? Because I think I read that the speeds are listed in miles per hour.
That's correct. We have three divisions, but the open division, which are the experienced horses and riders, so the rides are timed essentially, so you should be trotting on the flats and walking the hills. And the lower division, the novice, which is for new horses, young horses, riders new to the sport, they would be doing mostly walking, depending on how fast the horse can walk, with some trotting. So some trotting in the lower levels, quite a bit of trotting in the upper level.
And now we're talking about some distances, too, here, right? We're actually traveling quite a ways, and they're usually spread out over a couple days, right?
We have one-day rides and two-day rides. In the open division, you would expect about 30 miles in one day or 60 miles in 2 days.
Wow.
For the novice, right. And for the novice, about 20 miles in one day or 40 miles in 2 days.
Okay, so you are going
so,
quite. Is that what makes it different from the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, ACTA?
That is a big difference. The ACTA rides are essentially trail trial type obstacles, you know, trail skills things. The distances are much shorter, and the emphasis is on the obstacles. Now, we do have a horse is expected to do natural obstacles like crossing a bridge, going across a log, going across a stream, that sort of thing, but that's just part of being a good trail horse. In our sport, the emphasis is on doing the distance.
Okay, question. You have a 30-mile trail to ride in one day. 30 miles, start to finish, and there's judges. I'm just trying to paint this picture here. There's judges along the way. Do you know where the judges are? Do you not know? And how do you know? I get lost on a two-mile cross-country course. So how does somebody know where they're going?
Okay, we have trail people that mark and time the trail ahead of time. And it really actually, one rider described it as like a treasure hunt because you have, say, your 30-mile course, but it's ribboned along the way and paper plates at intersections and lime arrows on the trail. So you go from marker to marker. There's pulse and respiration checkpoints along the way. There's judging sites along the way. So every once in a while, you run into ride management. You might come to your lunch stop area. So it becomes quite fun going from marker to marker. And most of the time, we don't have problems with riders finding their way.
Okay, good, because I'd be out of there.
So Jamie Dietrich, in endurance, everybody starts at one time. For these competitive rides, do people start all at the same time?
We usually start at 30-second intervals just to give a little bit of separation, and that's because, you know, every horse and every rider is judged at every point, so we want a little bit of separation to help the judges be able to get a good look at them. They do tend to clump up and spread out during the ride. So that 30-second interval, of course, doesn't hold for the whole 20 or 30 miles, but it does give a little bit of spacing.
So you don't end up with a giant group, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the most fascinating things here at the World Equestrian Games was watching the start of endurance. These people are riding for 100 frickin' miles, going to take them 8 to 12 hours, and they all take off like it's a quarter horse race. It was amazing seeing them thunder
really?
Out of the starting gate. They will run your butt over. I mean, they are out of there. And we all sit there and went, they're riding for 100 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
it's like in the movie Hidalgo. They start out galloping at the movie, and then they get to the top of the hill, and then they all start walking.
Exactly.
It's all for show.
Definitely a lot of energy at the beginning of an endurance ride.
And I think, Jamie, too, you're finding that the membership is increasing like crazy in your sport. More and more people are doing it, aren't they?
They are. Actually, right now, we're feeling the economic pinch, as all horse sports are. People are tightening their belts a little bit. But the great thing about our sport that I think a lot of people recognize is that it's good for the horse. It's an aerobic sport. I don't know if any of you have done distance running yourself and felt that runner's high. But,
no.
But I've got to think the horses feel that too, you know, being an aerobic sport where the heart rate gets up but not excessively high. You see beautiful trails, beautiful places. A lot of places we have our rides are on trails that aren't otherwise open to the public. We incorporate basic horsemanship skills, you know, just learning how to take care of the horse, things that we learned perhaps as kids, and it really applies. Tremendous solid friendships in the sport. And people love that kind of thing.
Well, you know, it's actually pretty exciting hearing you talk about it because, you know, I just love doing anything with my horse, and I love people that take their horse and spend time with them and train them and get them to this point. I think it's really exciting to see, you know, the land conservation that you guys are using to keep the land where you have the 30 miles to ride in. I think it's very exciting. I want to give out your website before I let you go. It is NATRC.org. That is stands for the North American Trail Ride Conference. We would love to hear from anybody who does it, too. Our phone number is 347-637-3238. But, Jamie, thank you so much for being a part of the show, NATRC.org. And it's been interesting learning about it. Thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and come ride with us.
I will. I'm going to find out where they are, and I would love to come watch one or ride in one, so we appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for joining us. You know, we have a caller on the line here that I'm happy to see is calling in, and actually, I'm at this very moment, Jamie, I am sending you a link. You'll find I just put it up for you to check him out. His name is Raphael, and he has one of the most beautiful horses in the horse world. Are you there, Raphael? You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Glenn, and good morning, Jamie. Thank you very much. How you doing?
We're
good
doing great. I'm glad you called in. Did you get to see the picture there, Jamie?
I'm pulling it up right now. Hold on.
Okay,
Oklahoma
good.
Internet, you know.
We're lucky you have any at all. So that you are the Raphael, we had on the Stable Scoop show a couple of weeks ago, and we had the best time. I know. His name is Ivory Cow. He's a stallion. And tell us about, we have a whole different audience here, Raphael. So tell us, I'm glad you called. Tell us about your horse.
Well, Ivory Cow is a golden Palomino Tennessee walking horse, and he pretty much loves to do everything. From trail riding to dressage to musical performances, and we do it barefoot and bitless. And most of the things that Ivory Pal loves is really he's a people horse, and he loves being around people and to meet people. So that's pretty much Ivory Pal in a nutshell. So you can see him on his Facebook page, Ivory Pal, and also on the website to get a better idea.
Let me paint a picture. He looks like Trigger. He's Trigger. He's Trigger, but not creepy and stuffed anymore.
Thank you. That's too funny. Yeah. And I love this segment of the troll, competitive troll ride there that you just had. That was great. And actually, that's one of our favorite things to do is troll ride. Before anything, Pal is a trail horse, and that's where we do the conditioning, and he gets exposed to different things and see things, and I get to ride on a smooth horse and get to see some beautiful country.
And you're faster
well,
than everybody else because you're on a walker.
Smoother.
That's right. We glide, yes, and I could be drinking some coffee on his back, too, and not spill it in the morning. So Starbucks, if I ever run across a Starbucks out in the trails, but maybe one day.
I think Raphael maybe you have a saddlebag full of beer is what.
Yeah, that too. I don't want to get pulled over for a DUI, you know.
Jamie, Raphael actually does a lot of different acts and performs with this horse. He's a very popular horse in that world. He won many championships. But one of the cool things that he's doing with the horse now is he rides this horse. You'll notice in the picture, he rides this horse barefoot and bitless. So,
that's so cool.
And he's a stallion. You know, let's not forget the fact that he's a stallion.
Yeah, he's pretty easy going. And we kind of evolved into it. You know, we first started off with the Snaffle bit. Then we were introduced to the bitless bridle, Dr. Cook. And it was an easy transition. People say, oh, how do you control your horse and so forth? And really, most of the control just comes from riding with the whole body. You know, there's a false sense of security and these harsh bits. And it's really not necessary if there's a relationship and proper training with the horse. And the horse seems to be happier. One of our neighbors where we used to live in Ocala, they had a quote-unquote spooky horse. And after they saw us ride all of our horses and I repel bitless, they decided to take the leap of faith. And to their amazement, the horse was totally calm, and it's a different horse without a bit. And so that's how we've evolved into it. You know, having horses, as you both know, Jamie and Glenn, it's an ever-evolving and learning process, and the key is to be open to what's out there, and mainly listen to what the horse is telling us. The horse has an amazing ability to express themselves in their own language, of course, of what is comfort for them and what is discomfort and so forth, and that's the key. So that's how we've evolved over going bitless and barefoot.
Well,
wow.
We're talking about Turkey Day today. We're talking about Thanksgiving Day. Do you have anything special traditions that you do with Ivory Powell on Thanksgiving Day? Is it a day off for him, or do you ride him? What do you do on Thanksgiving?
We love to go on a trail ride. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to that on Thursday. We just go out and go through the countryside and just relax and go, obviously, with my two other companions, our two loyal Labrador retrievers that they love to go with us on the trail. So that's mainly what we like to do is trail ride. And living up here now in Tennessee, it's a whole different countryside than where I lived up until last November in Florida, as a matter of fact, in Ocala, Florida, where there we had the beaches. That was nice, too. But I love the scenery here in middle Tennessee.
Raphael, when you go for your Turkey Day trail ride, do you get to take any of your human family members along?
Yes, sometimes we do. Whoever wants to come along. My wife loves to ride. She has her Tennessee Walking Horse too, and whoever wants to come along is welcome to come.
You're inviting the whole world right this minute, Raphael. Do you realize that?
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah.
They're all going to be showing up at your doorstep Thursday morning.
Yeah, we'll maybe be doing an impromptu competitive trail ride or something. Yeah.
You know what, Raphael? If you have that beer in your saddlebag, like you said, I might be down too.
All right, we'll make sure it's nice and cold. The weather's supposed to be cool here, so it'll be nice and chilled, the beer.
Yeah. Now, on just real quick, I wanted to mention that when we used to trail ride in Tennessee as well, because I lived in Lexington, and we would drive down to Tennessee, and I'm trying to remember, I think it's East Fork or South Fork?
Oh, absolutely.
Stable?
Yes, East Fork, yes.
And when we would go on a trail ride, we would have the I had a thoroughbred and most everybody else had quarter horses, but there was a pack of our friends that had walking horses. And when we would start our ride, everybody get tacked up and get ready to go. And then we'd just say goodbye to the Tennessee walking horses. See you guys later, because they were twice as fast as we were on our thoroughbreds and quarter horses.
Right, yeah, it's the long overreach that they have on their 4-beat gait. That is the signature of a walker, is their flat walk and running walk. You do cover a lot of ground, and that's why it is difficult to ride sometimes with our horse friends that don't have Tennessee walkers, because we do leave them in the dust, and they're like, hold on, let me catch up. So they're trotting, and you know, and sometimes even a little bit of a small lope, and we're just gliding along, you know, at a regular flat walk or running walk, and it is so smooth. That's the great thing. And I'm middle aged now, I'm 45 years old, and you know, nothing
back
that. I had. Yeah, that's right. We're catching up. It's okay, but it's not the same when I was 20 years old. You know, now I'm glad. I do have a walker for that reason and trail riding and the ability to do other things too. That most people think of walkers can't do a lot of things, but they do. They're versatile. As a matter of fact, last year's Extreme Cowboy Challenge was won by a Tennessee walking horse, a black Tennessee walking horse ridden by Tracy Pinson. She's also from Florida.
Okay, so I have to agree with you because Tennessee walking horses I find are very talented. And in 2 weeks from now, I'm taking a Tennessee walking horse into training level 4 dressage show. So he's been way through the levels. We're now at training 4. So I totally agree with you. These Tennessee walking horses are amazing. And he actually, he did not excel as a Tennessee walking horse. His gait is not smooth and nice. So we taught him to trot. Now he's happy.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, level 4, that's awesome. That's good to hear. I have to send me some pictures or a website so I could go see it because I love to see Tennessee walkers being used in so many different ways. That's outstanding.
I definitely will. Definitely will. Yeah, I'm very proud of him. Your horse is absolutely gorgeous. We'll post the picture up on our horsesinthemorning.com page because, oh, he's so pretty. I want to hug him.
Father, what does it say? Raphael, you can want to remind everybody that they can hear the whole hour we spent with Raphael on the Stable Scoop Show, episode number 117, over at stablescoop.com. And, you know, you do, Party, I forgot to ask you this when we interviewed you there a couple weeks ago, and that is you do an act where you play Elvis, right?
I try to. You can't beat Elvis, you know. There's the only one Elvis, but, yeah, we try to play the role.
Well, now my question is: I see pictures of you here, all dressed up like Elvis, and you kind of look like Elvis. You're not fat enough, but so my question is: do you lip sync or do you actually sing?
No, I let the horse sing. I'm just kidding. It's actually just a recording. That's Elvis's real voice out there from the background. I try to teach Iris how to sing or get the "thank you very much" part down, but. He hasn't perfected it yet. One of these days we may surprise people.
Yeah, that would be a shocker.
That
ruins my plan.
That
ruins my plan, Jamie. I was going to have him sing us out today, but I don't think that's going to happen now.
You don't want to hear my voice. Nah. I think the dogs
would
start barking.
You and Glenn should do a duo then because it's pretty awesome.
there we go. That's absolutely correct. The tribute to Elvis is one of our favorite performances, too. We really like to do that one.
Well, thank you, Raphael. We appreciate you calling in today. It's so nice to hear from you again, and you can call in anytime. We enjoy talking to you.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and Jamie and your family.
Thank you, Raphael. You too.
Thank you.
Have a good ride. Bye. All right, that's Raphael on Ivory Pal. You know, this half an hour, we want you to give us a call. We still have time left. You can give us a call at 347-637-3238. You have a chance to win just by calling or posting on our Facebook page today. Chance to win the Carrots cargo jacket worth $200. That is one nice jacket that you're going to want to have a chance to win. So give us a call. This half hour is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family vaccines. Whew, every time I need a drink. After I do that commercial, I just need a drink.
Encephalomyelitis. Say it together now.
Once a week, I have to get through that commercial. They're great products, just tough to say when they're all put together like that.
You know what? You know what? You should just do what our vet does, which is he says, E-E-W-E-E-V-E.
Yes, right.
Or they call it, you know, the 4-way, the 5-way, and the 3-way, the 2-way. So you could get away with that.
So now you're out in Oklahoma. I assume there's no horses on the farm.
I'm not at a farm. I'm in a neighborhood. However, I have been informed every visit that Toby Keith lives like 4 miles from here. And I've driven by his house several different times, and he never takes my calls. however, he does live down the street. He's got a big ranch in Norman, Oklahoma. And it's funny because you drive down the street, and it's like little house with like a couple acres, little house with a couple acres, little house. And then this huge mansion spread thing that has this American flag. And this is how you know it's Toby Keith's house. He has an American flag on a flagpole that is like car dealership size. Huge, you know, car dealerships have those ridiculously huge flags. That's what this has at Toby Keith's house. There's a huge fountain in the middle of his pasture because, you know, why wouldn't you have a big fountain in the middle of your horse pasture? And it's a really, really, really beautiful place. And I think what I should do is try to get him on the show.
Or well, I'll should, get arrested. He's quite a horse person. He's been riding since he was tiny. He had his first horse when he was a kid was an Appaloosa mare, and he actually rode ranches and things like that. So he's done quite a bit of riding, and I think right now he actually does some thoroughbred breeding and racing and training and stuff. So
could be
listening.
Could
be calling you right down the street. Go knock on his door.
He could be listening
sure.
right now. Yeah, come on over.
Yeah,
give
I'm
us
sure.
a call, Toby. Paul.
I'm amazed with your Cliff Clavin knowledge of Toby Keith.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Wikipedia
it's a
is a wonderful thing.
Yes. Glenopedia on the show. Well,
actually,
we
you know how I found?
What,
I found that at Western Shooting. I have to give credit to westernshootinghorse.com because all I did while you were talking was put in Toby Keith and horses, and it was a nice article in there. So I confess I faked all of that.
The magic of Google is so
yes,
phenomenal. You don't have to show. You don't have to tell everybody. Just own it. Just I'm a big Toby Keith fan. There you go.
No, I'm a big Carrie Underwood fan.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware. Hey, we were talking about Thanksgiving traditions, Glenn, and I wanted to mention – of course, everybody can call 347-637-3238. We are giving away that awesome Carrots jacket if you call or post on Facebook. But when I was in New Orleans, there's actually a really interesting, you know, it's perfect that this is for New Orleans because it's kind of a bizarre tradition to think, you know, it's Thanksgiving Day, you know, you're with your families, and your friends, and you're eating, and you're, you know, sitting around talking. You know what they do in New Orleans?
No.
You're supposed to say, no, what?
No, what do they do in New Orleans?
They go to the track. It is like opening day of the racetrack in New Orleans, and everybody, it is like this huge historic thing to go to the, it's the third oldest racetrack in the world at the fairgrounds there, and it is opening day at the fairgrounds, and people, this year especially, are going to go, and it becomes this huge event on Thanksgiving Day to go gamble. Why does that not scream New Orleans?
Yeah, it does scream New Orleans. Do they have big turkey dinner there at the track, right in the middle of the track?
They probably have, you know, serving turkey legs somewhere, but I think they're more concerned on, you know, drinking and gambling. But
I guess if you know it was New Orleans, it would probably be beer and turducken would be what served at the track in New Orleans, you would think.
And turducken is...
Oh, you never heard of turducken?
Again, Glenn, the vegetarian thing. It sounds like
you're gonna love
it's
this.
Gross.
I'm going to gross Jamie out totally this morning. They take a turkey, you debone it, and you stuff it with duck and chicken.
Wait, you do what now? You stuff your chicken, you stuff a turkey with chicken
you
and
stuff a
duck?
Chicken, you debone a chicken, you stuff it with duck, and then you stuff the chicken inside the turkey, and they cook it all together.
That is the nastiest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. Just if you didn't get enough meat, just dig a little deeper. There's a whole another dead animal in there. Oh, my gosh, it's horrible.
It's awesome.
We were talking yesterday about how we wanted to order one. So, all right, let me do a final review here of Facebook. We got Deanna write in and say, love the information on endurance riding today. Lots of good info to get started. You guys are great. Well, thank you, Deanna. We appreciate that. And also Susan Nelson wrote in a couple of times and talks about what she does on Thanksgiving. And she said, and I listen to Horses in the Morning first thing at work on iPhone with earphones. So we want to remind everybody you can listen on your iPhone and most of your Droid phones just by going to horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I. And you can listen live on almost all iPhones and Droid phones. You can do that right there. Listen live, put your earphones on. Your boss won't even know that you're listening to our show. Except when you start typing into your Excel or your Word document, you accidentally put Jamie, Glenn, horses, barn. When you start typing those things in your Word document about real estate, they might know. You know, there might be an indication that something's goofy. And Jamie, I wanted to tell you one other thing, too, that I found in the news yesterday. It's very exciting because you guys rent your place, right?
Our farm? We are sort of renting to own, yes.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that means you don't totally own it. And he could get transferred to New York at any time because he is in the military. So I wanted to tell you about this real estate that I found listed, just came up. It's in Pound Ridge, New York. It is owned right now by somebody by the name of Lee Vogelstein, who owns a dance school. It's a 96-acre equestrian estate about an hour outside of New York City. It has a professional horse facility with 20 stalls, an indoor arena, an outdoor ring, as well as a pond. There's a 6,500-square-foot, six-bedroom, six-and-a-half-bath house built in 1987 with a tennis court, gazebo, and pool. And also, now the coolest part about this is the estate is completely surrounded by 4,000 acres of protected land. And you can go right from the barn and ride right into that 4,000 acres. So there you go. You can, when he gets transferred to New York, there's your place.
You know what I'm thinking, Glenn, is that could be my summer home.
You'd like to know how much?
I'm sure that I'll want it, two of them. So, yeah, go ahead. 6,000 square foot home, 9 bedrooms, fast, whatever. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe, 180. 180,000. That's so fair.
add a few zeros and make it 1.9, or no, make it 19 million.
So for a mere
19 million, you can have yourself a little farm up there in Pound Ridge, New York. I found that. Thought that was interesting. And I just wanted to mention that Play Dual Ray was now top quarter horse, a quarter horse at Quarter Horse World Show. He's a 7-year-old horse owned by a Technus Partnership Group, and he was crowned Super Horse at the American Quarter Horse Association World Show last week. So I wanted to give a shout out to Play Dual Ray. That was fun. And
congratulations!
That's all the little news bits I've got. So how about we just say goodbye and you can go enjoy your day in Oklahoma there.
Yes, I think we're going to do a little bit of hiking. The husband and I are going to head out, do a little bit of hiking, and then I'm sure that we will be going to some pre-sales at the mall. Got to scout out where we want to go. We're going to map our Black Friday map and locations and time frames and everything. It's going to all be written down and structured and organized. So that should be fun. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Follow us on Facebook. You can search for Horses in the Morning. That's where you can see if you won today's amazingly awesome prize. It's the Carrots Cargo Jacket, which is awesome because it covers your little butt crack when you're sitting on your horse and there's a separation between your jeans and your coat. That doesn't happen with this one because you can actually lean forward and your butt crack doesn't show and get cold. And then the other thing is it has those, the other thing I like, Glenn, the zippers under the armpits to ventilate for those of us who sweat a lot.
You need all the ventilation you can get living in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm going to say goodbye, but before I do, I want to mention something. I am so excited. We've had a first today. Well, not really a first, but we've had something that doesn't happen too often. We just had a guy by the name of Curtis, a horse husband, a horse person that's a man, write in on our Facebook page and say, great show this morning. We just discovered the morning show today, and I love it. Curtis, it's so nice
Woo-hoo!
To hear from guys occasionally. It's just me and all these women. So it's so nice of you to write
it.
In. And another one from Holly that said, I forgot to mention many thanks for you guys describing the jacket that is up for someone to win today. If I don't win, that's certainly going on my Christmas wish list, as it would be great for the horse on those blizzardy days here in New York. Holly, we got a farm for you, so you can find that. Just go look it up. And if you missed the live show today, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate website, or on iTunes. You never need to miss an episode of Horses in the Morning. We'll be back again Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with Baker's Blog Spot. We had her on. She called in a little bit earlier today. We have the Horse Health Report by thehorse.com, and the great folks are joining us from Net Posse. That's all started last Friday, so take a listen to that show as well. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, okay.